Thank you so much, brother. Thank you.
That's right.
Glenn, wherever that 30-degree weather is, I like to be there. You say it's going to be hot over there. Hot. It's not hot. And also, this is our home church. We don't have other home churches. This is our home church. I'm so thrilled and glad, Brenda and I, I'm speaking for both of us, that this very important day, the anniversary of this church, 162, that you have asked me to speak for this church. So I'm humbled. We are very humbled to be here. And I'm going to try very much not to, in my excitement, to tone things down so you can understand me, because this is a very important day for this church and for all of us. And I'm really, really glad that you have chosen us. But before I go on, I think I would like us to read a text, and then we'll come back to this text later on. And I'm going to call my brother Stephen Ode. I saw your mouth just opened. You didn't bring your Bible, or you did? You there, okay? Come on, read it for me. It's 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 7 to 14. A bit long. No bad names in there. So take your time. 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 7 to 14. That's our text this morning. I'm biting time for you, Stephen. Come here. Come here, please.
I said this morning to Abigail, if you forget anything, don't let it be our Bible.
Good for you.
Now the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah. The Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called it its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territories from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll come back to the text. But just to let you know that this is an anniversary for Brenda and I with this church. This is the 20th year that you have been supporting the work in Ghana. Greatly. I think you should clap for yourselves. Yeah. The reason is what we have accomplished together is one of a kind. We have done some work in Ghana together, beginning from this church, and we are thrilled about it. Recently, again, the Canadian government went and looked at our work, and they were thrilled over it. I bring this before you because, you know, the government doesn't like church. The government doesn't like church work. And I'm going to say a few things as we go along. Government, as soon as you bring in anything about evangelism, as soon as you even mention the name of Christ, they want to shut you down. But this work that we've been doing together, the Lord has miraculously held the hand of the government of Canada, that this is my work, and whether you like it or not, you have to do it. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. We need to bless God for this. Recently, they went and looked at the work again, and among many works, they said, your work is par excellence, so we are going to give you $1.3 million to scale up what you're doing. Amen? Yes. I'm always baffled for things like that, for the very government that pushes away Christ, that will come and say, this particular work, even though we push away Christ, and let me tell you something. You might think we are just playing their language. We are not playing their language. I told you one time before that they sent a woman to us to evaluate the work. And she sat on the table with Brenda and I. And before we ate, we prayed seriously. We prayed more than we normally pray. And when before she left, she confessed and said, you are right. Because I've just come from Malawi. He said, what I've seen there and what I'm seeing there, she said, you are right. There's a divine intervention in your work. That's what she said. And so we praise the Lord so much for that. We thank the Lord. I also want to mention to you as an encouragement that when we started to raise funds for the hospital, I thought the hospital was going to be $500,000. That's what I've been thinking. When the board asked me, how much do you think it's going to cost? I said, $500,000. Then we brought in some Americans and Canadian architects and engineers. They call them EMI, engineers. It's good to have my wife here. Engineers, missionary, Ministry International. They did all the work, and they called us into a room and said, that's an expensive hospital. And I was thinking, well, maybe they will add something to it to be 700 when they said that. And I said, what is it going to be? Kevin, their leader, he said, it's going to be cost you at least $10 million US. And the saliva in my mouth, as I told you before, it just turned like a battery water, like acid. And we mentioned that to you here, that the hospital, they said it's going to cost $10 million US dollars. At that time, the value of the Canadian dollar and the US dollar were at par. So that's what it is. Now, the US dollar has moved up a bit, so there's a little bit on top of the $10 million. But the $10 million we mentioned to you, we have raised that. It's in our coffers. Amen. 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 as an encouragement to this church, because when things got critical, people prayed and just said, move on, move on, move on. Big organizations are not able to raise those kind of funds in this short period that we've got. And the Lord has already done that for us, for Oxbridge, and the work in Ghana, because you're really part of it. I keep telling you that, because when things begin to look a little bit funny here, continue to believe that the church of God is very big and your church is very big. Because your church here in Canada, your church in Oxbridge, this particular church, is very big. Because you've started 44 churches in Ghana. Amen? 44. And right now we are finding it very difficult to just continually disciple people, because we have very small pastors. That's what I'm asking, that you loan pastor to us frequently. we are holding off of doing more evangelism because of the influx of people, particularly the youth. And that's a good news for this church, to know that together the work we are doing here, you are finding it difficult to bring people into the kingdom, while you're not finding it difficult in Ghana to bring people to the kingdom. Amen? Amen? It's a very good thing. Don't forget that when your heart is down. Don't forget that you're bringing in more people to the kingdom. Well, let's come back to church. I think 162 years ago, there would have been a lot of horses and carts here at the parking lot. So many of them. Ragged-looking farmers that would have showed up this morning. They would have gone out of their heart to contribute a little bit that they had from their farms to start the church. And they were not looking for income tax. Income tax deductions were in there at that time. They did it from their heart, that they will serve the God of Yahweh, and they went out to do it. They didn't have vehicles that change automatically. They didn't have them. They have rugged vehicles. My mother-in-law used to tell me that before they got into their car, they heated blocks, they heated bricks, and put on the seats and wrapped them over blankets to put on when it's cold, that they will warm up the seat a little bit. Well, I've seen that some of your cars even have warming seats, automatic warming seats. But these people, these our fathers, our mothers in the past, as rugged as things were, they were some of the most cardinal people who held down the faith that you and I are sitting on the pews here today. We praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for men and women who braved winds, who rode horses, who didn't get tax receipts, and yet they kept the faith. They kept the faith. This morning for me, if I were to think about 160 years in Ghana, it would not be a nice thing at all. We wouldn't be celebrating it. We wouldn't call it an anniversary. Because those would be days that were slavery. My ancestors would be slaves. They would have chained some of them and sending them to the Americas to auction them off. So it wouldn't be a good thing for me to think about. Not just the slavery, but the worst part of it is Satan controlled the people. There wasn't anything like Christ. Satan was controlling them. Like your great ancestors I just mentioned, They were formidable people creating ways for you that you can have Christ, the Son of God, in your midst. They were working towards that. Whereas my ancestors were working towards sending us to hell, if I can use the word this morning. They were working on every aspect, serving Satan, so that we will end up in a place where we will never be with God. So it's not a good past for me. It's not a good past for me. But this morning, it's a great thing for the few years that I've found Christ that I can say, now it is a good thing for me. I want us to look at the text. I'll just make some comments for this very important day in our lives here in this church, 162 years. It is a great passage for us this morning. Ebenezer, Samuel said, Ebenezer, a stone of help. That's what it means. Ebenezer. There are a lot of things in this passage that I think we should think about, all of us. We should really think about, and I can't go through it all. I can't tell you all. Pastor Dale would have done that for you. But I'll just tell you a few things. That the fact that you are here in this church this morning is a praise to God. It's a praise to God, our Father. That a lot of things have been put in place, as I mentioned, for you to be here. And if you are not part of Oxbridge Heritage, and you have been brought together here this morning, you should also thank God. You should also thank God that you are sitting in this room and not a room where liquor is being served to tables. But you're here this morning. You're here because some important things have happened. You're here because the grace of God has been showered upon this church. And me, David Mensah, as I said, my past would have been very bad. I have become, by the work of Christ, I have become part of your anniversary this morning, which gladdens my heart. Otherwise, on this platform here, there would have been chains in my hands. You would have been auctioning me off. But today, Glenn introduces me like some sort of a famous person. The praise of our God and what he does to humanity is what makes me stand here in front of you this morning. Christ our God. He's a loving Father. He's a caring Father. He's a God who lifts us up. And if you're here and you don't know him yet, I want to tell you that from the darkest of Africa, his power has sent light in there. Send light in there. As a result, you have your... Now you call me a brother. That's what he was calling me. I was listening to him over and over again. Brother. That's a good biblical word. A really good word. It's not just simple word. Brother. When Paul went to Ananias, Paul who was a criminal, Paul who was a killer, when Ananias came to him, God has spoken to Ananias. His first word to him was, Brother Paul. I'm sure he blew Paul up. He's a murderer. Now he calls him Brother Paul. So that's a good biblical word. And that's what you call me, Brother David. Because Christ had done something very significant. He's done something significant for this church. He's done something significant for the whole world. Broken the chains. Now this text... Samuel wants his people to remember what has happened and what is yet to happen. 20 years before this very spot in which they were, 20 years before this very spot, they were defeated by the Philistines. Philistines had defeated them on that spot and took away the ark of God. They took it away from them. And so they were without the presence of the God that they loved. 20 years passed, took it away from them. And 20 years, that very spot, something magnificent happened, that very spot. I want you, people, before you can appreciate God, you have to have occasions where you look back. If you're a child of God and you don't have that sense in you to look back, you may not be able to serve God properly. You know, this morning, I'm here excited with you because I look back. I look back to see what was happening. When you gave me this opportunity to come and speak here, I thought it was for me, not for you. This anniversary was for me. It's an anniversary for me to look back. To look back in Ghana, to look back in the Mo tribe, to look back to see what was happening to me and today. You've got to be able to look back. Sometimes the back is a sad thing, and sometimes the back is good. If the back is good and you're deviating from the good, you've got to come into your senses. And reason, like the Lord said, the angel said for the church in Revelation, that you are losing your first love. You have to be able to go back there and look. All of us, look at back, what has happened. And most of us, if the back was terrible, then it gives you the chance to really praise God. This is what was going on. So you have the ability to look back and say, wow, how was the back? How was I? Some of you had mortgages. The Lord has helped you pay them. But if you have money and you weren't careful and you threw them into Rama, or what do you call that? Huh? Casino Rama. You threw the money in there. Then you also have to think, to say, careless me. Funds have gone into Casino Rama and I'm back to square one. We have to think about that. But these people, they came into a point where they looked what has happened to them, how they were captured by the Philistines, how they were molested by the Philistines, how they were kept in bondage. Their God, the presence of God, was completely denying them. And they were just walking on their own without the presence of God. They didn't have God. They didn't have the one who protected them, was taken away from them, the ark. And then Samuel, the pastor, called them to all come for prayer. Call all of them to come for prayer. And while they were in the prayer, while all of them were in prayer, the Philistines decided that this was the time to attack them. They are vulnerable. They have nothing now. This is the very time to attack them. And when these people came and they were praying, they were about to pray, they were about to give themselves to God, the army of the Philistines came over. And here I want to remind you that sometimes when you're doing your best, you're trying, you're struggling your best, you want to serve God the best, you want to pray this time the best, that's the time sometimes you have your problems. Problems are coming to you and you're doubting, is God with me? Is God listening to me? Is God hearing with me? Students, the time that you decide you're going to be different, You're not going to act the way others act. That's the time you're failing the papers. And you're thinking, am I doing something right? Should I go back to my old ways? These people, the time that they've been called to prayer, and they all came in droves, they listened to their pastor. They were there, and there the enemy striked. Keep that in mind, that sometimes when you're the hottest, when you're getting very close to God, that is when you're hit the hardest. That is when you're hit the hardest. That is when sicknesses come. That is when you are diagnosed with something that you just say, oh, this is unbelievable. Keep that in mind. You are getting very close to God and you lose your job. When it comes, remember that Brother David has said it, that I'm perhaps getting very close to God. So it's not all the time that when you're getting close to God that everything you just go hunky-dory. You just have to keep in mind that Satan hits when you're getting stronger with God quite often. But the people were wise. When this thing happened, they ran back to the pastor and said, Pastor, pray for us. Pastor, intercede for us. Pastor, help us. And I want to tell the church the same thing. That regardless of the deficiencies of Kathy McIntosh and Reverend Dale, regardless of what you see in them, you see, I don't. Regardless of what you see in them as shortcomings, they are your Samuel. Amen? Amen. I didn't hear it louder. Amen. Yeah. Until they live here, they are your Samuel. You go back to them. You go back to them and go back to them and go back to them. If you don't see your Samuels, things are going to be tough for you because God does his things through his Samuels. God does his things through his people that he's put in front of the people. I haven't been talking with them this morning. They haven't coached me to tell you anything this morning about their importance. No, but I'm just telling you the truth of Scripture, that if you want to be blessed, if you want to move ahead, if you want to have victory, if you want to celebrate more anniversaries, you look for your Samuels and go to them and ask them and say, help me, pray for me, give me guidance, give me direction. Never mind what you know about them. They are the Samuels God has put in your place, and I do that. You know the church that I pastor in Ghana? I got 44 churches, I've told you. But there are two young men. My age is almost double their age. But they are my Samuels. When I call them for something, they are even scared. I ask them for help. Pray for me. You've got to remember that. You've got to remember that. You've got to remember that you have Samuel sitting right here in this church. You bypass them, you'll probably be ending up in the camp of the Philistines. They go to Samuel and say, intercede for us. Intercede on our behalf. We don't want this thing to happen again. And the good old Samuel, he goes for a lamb, a small lamb. This time, it's interesting, this text that we are reading. Very interesting. Because normally, they go for the bulls, they go for this, they go for that. But this is a very tense moment. A very tense moment because all the people have been rallied together And they have no weapons in their hands to fight at this time. It was so tense that when I was reading it and reading it again and again and again for this anniversary service, reading it, I thought to myself, well, this is the time to call the bulls, the this and that, and bring all of them together. But look at what the pastor did. The pastor, he went in for a little teeny city lamp. You think what? What is that going to do? This is war. We've been surrounded. We went for a little lamb. That little lamb represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, save the Lord. The good old pastor realize that this particular time, this is not for bulls. This is real. We need God himself to intervene with us. This is not to play threats, look for bulls and their blood. We need a lamb. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And that is what you need. So we celebrate this and go forward. We need the Lamb of God. You don't need fancy things. You don't need fancy things. I bet if one church came, some person... Whoa. See? if some pastor came into this town community here and is doing some jingoistic things and performing some things, you will see that church filling up with members of churches. That's what happened. Somebody came here, just preaching two good sermons. They are nice. You see people living and going to that church and living their church. You don't need fancy things like that. Churches don't do anything, but the Lamb of God does everything. The Lamb of God does everything. And you do that in Oxbury Baptist Church. You don't need to go to a fancy church to meet the Lamb of God. He's here. Don't forget that. When you are inclined to move away from Oxbury Baptist Church, remember that it's not that church that performs the thing. It's not the bulls. It's the Lamb, the very Lamb, the small one. And that's our Christ. And you have him. You all sitting here, you have him. You've known him. Samuel directs their attention to it, that yes, there are guns surrounding us, there are difficulties surrounding us, but what we need is the Lamb of God. We call it in the little lamb. I'm sure some of the people were looking at, this man is now out of his mind. But he's not out of his mind. He's calling them to reality. So again, don't forget your pastors. And pastors, Kathy and Pastor Dale, I don't know the third one. Christopher, oh, you're here. Christopher. Whenever there's an issue, critical issue, tense issue, really throbbing issue, you go to the Lamb of God. You go to the Lamb of God. Don't look for the bull's blood. Don't look for fancy bull's blood, Pastor. You go back to the Lamb of God. Because he does everything. You know, while they were praying and saw themselves so empty-handed, so helpless, these people just thought, this is an easy kill. And then they went in there. The Lord made it such that they didn't have to lift up their hand. He rained hail into that army. And they got their ark back. Amen. The Lord intervened. And he says there that as long as Samuel lived, that they were not pestered anymore. They reasoned to themselves, these were armless people. How could they defeat us? But that's what God does for people who wait upon him. People who wait upon the Lord. He rescues them. He takes them from the hands, the jaws of the lion. That's what he did for them. He rescued them. Remember that and keep that. Now, finally, let me point to you that the word Ebenezer that Samuel has used is a very important one. Thus far, the Lord has brought us. Thus far, the Lord has brought this church. 162 years. Thus far, the Lord has brought us. See how he phrases it. Thus far, the Lord has brought us. Which means that Samuel did not catch it in that it was finished. His life was finished. The life of the Israelites was finished. He said, he's brought us this far. We have a long journey to go. Amen. He's brought us to this, but we have some time to go. That's far. He's saved us. He's cared for us. He's delivered us. That's far, but we have a long way to go. That's how we have to keep in our mind, even the oldest amongst us here in this room, you have to continually tell your mind that thus far the Lord has brought me, I have a long more journey to go. Don't cast it in and rock on the chair that you cannot evangelize anymore. Don't cast it in that, oh, I'm finished. I don't have any tools anymore. Who tells you that's far? The Lord has brought you into that wheelchair. That's far. You have more to go with that wheelchair if you're sitting on one. He still expects you. That's far. He's brought me. That's far he's brought you. So then, I'm going to conclude by saying this, that if you think this is far, the Lord has brought you 162 years, and that we still have a journey to make, then we need to prepare ourselves for this now journey ahead of us. We have to prepare ourselves. And there are a lot of things going on in Canada that as we celebrate this anniversary, that I want to point a few of them to you. I don't actually point a few, maybe one or two, because you know them more than I do. Thus far the Lord has brought us. You know, if you don't know, doctors have been told now in Canada, they're coming out with a bill. Actually, the bill is in. That doctors cannot refuse euthanasia. If somebody comes to you, calls you that they want you to kill them, the doctors don't have the chance now to say, no, I cannot do that. It's getting to be a law that if you are going to practice law in this country, you have to agree to kill. And you know how that is going to be on Christian doctors. You know how it's going to be on Christian doctors. I don't want to talk about abortion because it's a debatable subject for many people. But you are living in a country where every belief that you have, that you hold sacred, that is being really scrutinized and looked at and tightened. They are jealous that you are not paying taxes for churches. Now, when you want to build a new church, and even in Oxbridge, if you want to build a new church, you will find out how the town council, how they will scrutinize you, how they will do this, how they will postpone this. We have a friend who is in a church in Mississauga, and they've been going for it now for 7 years for little things, just because they don't want the church built in that place. You are facing huge things. That's far the Lord has brought us. How are you embracing yourself so that others will celebrate 162 years? How are you preparing yourselves? Boys, men and women, how are you holding yourself? How are you making sure that your heart are firmly established in Christ? How are you holding yourself that your minds are really at one place with Christ? How are you doing that? You're going to be pushed to the wall. And make sure that others get the opportunity to celebrate 162 years. That you too have kept the faith. My country, for goodness sake, they are not attacking us the way they are attacking you. We are not being attacked yet. But even that, we've started digging in our roots. Because of what I'm seeing in Canada, I'm saying, oh, so government can do this. Oh, so government can do that. You know what? We are building a stronghold of faith. I think I told you here, and if you were not here that day, let me just repeat it. I'm just about finished now. So relax. I'm just about finished. But you know what I'm saying? My heart throbs for you. My heart throbs in me. That the faith, if it is not properly known, if it's not properly kept, you are going to just jump out of the boat as easy as anything. And we don't want, if you jump out of the boat, then we can't have anniversaries. We cannot. Just last week, Brenda and I were driving around, one in Lindsay, and I won't mention where the other one is. Two churches were up for sale. There were for sale signs on them. Two. We looked at it, and Brenda said, I said, oh my goodness. We need these church buildings in Ghana. We've got 44, we've got only 19 buildings. And here, the church is kind of winding down. They put a for sale sign on the church. When you see something like that, doesn't it bother you? You're not saying yes or you're not saying no. Doesn't it bother you? Yes, it bothers you. So let me come back to my story. I told you here, some of you may remember, some of you may not, that we, from time to time, will establish this time of prayer and fasting in the church. These are the ways to ground yourself, to dig deep. And the church, we all came together for this prayer and fasting. And about 3 o'clock, we had 9 kids show up in the church. 2 of them were 5 years old. The rest were about 7 or 8. And I just, prayer was a very important prayer. You know, you're fasting and praying, you think you're seeking God really well. So I went to the door, or they just came and sat. They found their place and sat at the back somewhere. And I went there to them and said, oh, little guys, today we are having a very important thing. We are praying, we are fasting to pray for the church. So you guys go home, and then later on. So I got them out, you know, obedient little kids. They just got up, and I was just shoving them very nicely to the door. And when they got to the door, one of them looked at me and said, but we heard that the church is fasting and praying today. I thought, wait a minute, let me listen to these kids. So I said, yes, we are fasting and praying today. He said, well, we are also fasting and praying today. I looked at them, I thought, do they even understand? And they started to unzip their little backpacks. They unzipped them and showed me and said, we didn't eat our lunch. Here's our food, because we've been fasting. 5-year-olds. I just said, you know what? You have the front seats. Come along to the front seats. See? We are building the church. We are sending our roots down. From 5-year-olds, they know how to fast and pray, sending their roots down. So that when the winds come and they are blowing these winds, they are blowing these, blowing us, then we stand strong. That's what it means. It means that the Lord has brought us this far, but there is a future that is uncertain. It is only certain because of Christ, the Lamb of God. And if you don't have that Lamb of God really dug in and you understand, you don't understand what it is to know him and to hold him and to serve him, you won't stand the winds that are ahead. The Lamb of God. The good news is the Lamb of God. When we have him, no matter how the future is, we also can make it possible for others to celebrate some anniversaries in this church. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you that both of us gather here, that we dig in deep. We dig in. We know how to pray. We know how to read the times by the tribe of Issachar. We know how to read the times and to say, is it true that our times are going to be like this? Yes, they are going to be like that. I can assure you that. That there's going to be so much more. So much more. So much more. And therefore, as it is day, let us dig deep. Let us hold on fast. Let us approach the future with joy. Let us approach the future with joy. Because we know the one that is going with us. That people think we are just there with our weapons. He will fight for us. He will fight for us. Amen? Amen. He's the one who is going to fight for us. So my encouragement to you is know him. Dig deep. Hold him tight. Like those 5-year-olds that are learning now to, when these guys, 5-year-old, by the time they are 35, they know what it is to seek God. They know what it is to go into their own camp and pray. They're learning. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning and learning and learning. But I know that with Christ, the future, somehow you just feel like you want to see it. You want to see it and show it that you can handle it because you have Christ. May the Lord bless us this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your kindness and for your grace that you worked through your son Paul that said, the one who started a good work with us will bring it to completion. And we know that, Lord Jesus, our great-grandmothers, great-grandfathers, who built this church for us. They sit in heaven today and say, go, go, David, go. Go, Glenn, go. Go. They are praying for us. But above all, our Father, the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, our Father, who knows our weaknesses, that you will help us. Whatever weapons, spiritual weapons we need, that you will give them to us so that these winds that are ahead coming, that we will anticipate them. Oh, Father, that we will anticipate them, that let them come. We will win the battle because you are with us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your promise that you'll be with us till the end of the age. We look forward, Lord Jesus, to walking with you until you call us home one by one through your grace. Amen.